went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, so the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. Best way to get a hold of me if you have a question, I want to answer your questions. I want to interact with you. I want to help you to better understanding with your health. So the best way to get a hold of me is my cell phone. It's the phone I carry with me. It's the phone I will answer. It's the direct line to me. So if you have a question, please call me at area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly if you want. Please don't text me. My phone does not receive texts. But if you want to do that texting type mentality, you can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have. You can always come to a healthcare class. You can stop into the office. Any way that you want to get a hold of me, I'm happy to work with you. I'm happy to talk with you. And it would be my pleasure. So we're here every week. This show is called When Your Health Matters. It's designed to educate you and support you and give you the understandings that you need to take care of you and your health, because it is yours. And when your health matters, you need to get the answers that you need to address your health issues. And so we're here each week. We try to cover topics that are important that shine a light on common sense understandings as to what goes on in the body and why it goes on in the body and why our healthcare system is the way that it is and why health eludes so many people in this country. And the man that helps me do that, the man behind the scenes, the man who puts these shows together and determines the topic and asks the questions, his name is Mark Sabin. He is your patient advocate. He wants to get the clarity for you, the listener. And he's sitting in the studio across from me, and we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Thank you so much, Doc Rick. You know, every week we get together, we talk about healthcare, and And it seems to me that the question that needs to be asked about what's going on with healthcare in America right now is, where is the care? Because it seems like the emphasis is more on treating than it is on caring.
That is the right question, Mark, and I'm glad you and many of our listeners are thinking the same way as myself. I sometimes listen to my show when it airs, as we pre-record these shows beforehand, and when I listen to them, the Rush Limbaughs, the Glenn Becks, the Sean Hannitys, etc., I find myself yelling at those guys who argue about the cost of healthcare and how we need to come up with a system that reins in the costs, etc., and universal care and socialized medicine and all this, that, and the other thing. And I will talk to the radio rather than, you know, spiritly yelling at those people because I don't have access to them. And I say all the time that you guys are missing the point. You are absolutely missing the point. The right question is why do we get these health concerns? Why is it normal for everyone to suffer with heart disease when they know it begins in infancy? Why do we get cancer when the treatment is so barbaric and so life-robbing? Why does the solution for high blood pressure or high cholesterol go on for the rest of a person's life? And the answer to this is that they don't want true solutions. They do not really care. They do not really want to take care of a person. The care is truly lacking, and it becomes about the treatment and not about the actual caring of a person. So there is no real care or caring in the healthcare system, and it's not designed for solutions and truly caring for the people. It's about treatment. It's about the treadmill of treatment and how much can we squeeze out of your insurance plan or out of the system before we dismiss you with a hearty, we've done all we can do. I wish you good luck.
I mean, when I think about the way that you approach healthcare, there are so many positive aspects to it. And these, I'd like to hear more from you about this, because the most fundamental way that you see your patients is when somebody comes into you with a health concern or even a significant health crisis, you view them as a person and not as their condition.
And once again, Mark, I'm glad you've taken notice. Everyone is a person, and many, far too many, have health challenges that affect them as a person, and they suffer when it does. And what they really need is what I discussed with the husband and wife the other day. She was in my office for care after not wanting to do all the minutiae that the medical doctors wanted her to do, and even after $2,500 MRI, they still had nothing for her. So while she came to me, her husband said, "You work with her, and I'll sit out here and wait." And I said to him, "Would you like an education as part of your wife's visit?" He said, "Certainly, if you don't mind." I said, "I don't mind. I actually insist. You're already here. You're already part of her equation, so let's be productive with our time and educate two people for the price of one." He was grateful, and he'd be coming in to see me next week. So treating people as people and not some specific condition is vital for that person and the people, and it's vital for the survival of humanity, Mark. So we can't focus so much on disease. We need to focus on the person who has a disease.
And one of the things that you like to provide for people is a sense of hope. So how do you go about doing that?
Well, by sitting knee to knee with my practice members and really understanding their concerns, understand how it affects them, what it feels like, how long they've had it, the relationships in their life and how those are affected, the stresses and how they deal with their stress. And when they leave after their first visit, Mark, they have something they've never gotten from their medical doctor's office. They actually feel like someone actually understands them and their condition, and they leave the office with a sense of hope for a solution. And with time, we provide them with their solution, and we give them back their life, and we get them back into the game of life, because now they no longer have the thing that they came in with.
Well, I mean, that is so important, because when you have a health problem, it's pretty scary for most people. And I mean, one of the things, first things you want to be able to address is the fear that comes up.
Absolutely. It's vital. It's absolutely imperative to alleviate the fear. And it's the first step in getting well. If you take action in fear, the outcome will be problems at best. And maybe that's why the following medical approach takes so long and costs so much, because they fundamentally, the person's coming in and they're being feared into the treatment, or they're being feared into the condition and all the doom and gloom associated with giving a person a diagnosis, when the word diagnosed literally means two people who don't know.
That's pretty funny. I mean, your message, and you've been getting this message out since I've known you, is that there's a difference between what's being called healthcare, and you identify that as really it's about sickness care, and what the difference between that and what real healthcare is. What is the difference?
Well, as it says in the name, sickness care is about focusing on and treating the sickness. And it seems to go on indefinitely, like diabetes or high blood pressure or autoimmune disease or high cholesterol or what have you. It becomes identifying and treating the sickness for as long as your insurance company will pay for it. When you identify somebody with their disease and you make them believe that they say my cancer, they say my heart disease, they say my autoimmune disease, don't ever claim your disease state that you don't want to have. Think of it as being temporary. Think of it as being something that you will solve. Think of it as being something that is as well as you've created it. Think about the fact that if you can create it, you can also uncreate it with proper guidance. But don't claim it. Don't make it yours. And don't identify with it so much that it becomes a part of you.
So part of this is about the mental aspect of being able to keep a positive perspective on what your health is.
Oh, absolutely. And what's important to understand is you are a triune being. You are a body, you are a mind, and you are a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what medicine does is they treat the physical part, okay, the body part, okay? And there's another faction of healthcare that is about mental health. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to our churches, our synagogues, we go to our places of worship, and we deal with the spiritual part. Okay. And in my office, because people have problems in all three arenas and the people want to be whole and they want to be holy, then
mm-hmm.
I'm going to help deal with all three of those facets of what health is. And you know, it doesn't have to get any more complex than we need it to get. But at the end of the day, I treat people as a whole. I treat them as a body, mind, and spirit.
And, you know, when it makes so much sense what you're saying. And when you know, the World Health Organization has made the statement that health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. That sounds pretty much like what you're talking about.
Well, it is my point of view. I actually throw in there it's a state of complete physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity, not merely the absence of symptoms. It is the fundamental basis for administering care, which is different from how the insurance company defines care. They say, meaning the medical care system, the original government health care system, which was Medicare, and soon to be all of health care, they say the following about health insurance. Care that seeks to prevent disease, promote health, prolong and enhance the quality of a person's life. Sounds pretty good so far, right?
So I like it so far.
The care is not considered medically necessary and is not considered a covered service, and the provider cannot get paid for that service from the insurance company. So all of the medical care is based on providing care when there is full-blown medical conditions and not any conditions before then. This way, they are guaranteed to get the maximum dollars that you as a patient get from the insurance carrier, and you get to suffer and collect health conditions and watch your life slowly slip away. And so when a person has to wait until they've lost greater than 60% of normal functioning in order for their health insurance to kick in, does the doctor have any incentive at all to make sure that you're healthy?
Well, it seems like it's not even necessarily just the doctors. It seems like what you have is a system that's set up where you have this thing that is not a human being with a human being sensitivity and compassion. It seems like it's about the organization, and the organization and the bureaucracy of it becomes more important than either the caregiver or the recipient of care.
Right. It's interesting. I have a radiology place downstairs from where my office is in Newburgh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I had to go down there to get some of their forms so that I could make referrals. And when I was in there, a new patient walked in, and obviously, they had an appointment because you got to make appointments if you're going to go in and have any of their viewing procedures done.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl behind the desk didn't really spend much time saying hello to the person. The first thing that the girl asked for was their insurance card. They're there to verify what the facility can get paid, regardless of whether the person has an ability to pay or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have another patient who, when she goes to get some sort of medical evaluation, all the office is really interested in is making a copy of the insurance card. And the patient actually said to them, don't worry, I'm not using health insurance. I'm a self-pay. Mm-hmm. And the girl behind the counter had no idea what to do with that. I don't know how to deal with a self-pay person. I need your insurance card. She says, no, I'm going to pay cash. You know, I'm going to write you a check today. You're not using my health insurance. And the girl behind the desk didn't know what to do with that, which I found interesting.
That is interesting. You know, all the way back in the 1700s, there's a very famous French philosopher and writer, Voltaire, and he wrote that everyone should be his own physician. We ought to assist and not force nature. And that really speaks to the reality that health is not something that the physician provides. It's natural to be healthy. And don't you believe that health can be helped and cultivated?
Absolutely. And I go to work every day and I live that philosophy. And I was given a phrase by one of my great mentors, the great Dr. Scott Walker from Encinitas, California. And he said rather eloquently one day, he says, just remember, Rick, God does the healing and the doctor takes the fee. And it's funny, but it's so very true. Supporting the body to do its job, and it will do its job better than any human who is trying to control it. It's about faith, and it's about trusting nature to do its job. And if allowed to do it, it does it every time, Mark.
Mm-hmm. You cut yourself, you heal. And you know, another thing that Voltaire said was that if you eat with moderation what agrees with your constitution, nothing is good for the body but what we can digest. Right. So, it's really the same thing. This is the way of eating that you recommend.
Yes. With all the crap foods, the completely refined and processed foods out there and all the advertising for fast foods and other crap foods, it makes it harder and harder every single day for people to actually get ingredients from food that nurtures their body and nourishes their body. And with the genetically modifying of our food, and that's even going to become a bigger problem for humanity. And at what cost? Well, ask the people profiting off of it, and you will soon know what the cost is, because they're the ones who are reaping the rewards, and we are the ones who have to actually pay for all of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so true. I mean, the last thing that I want to tell you that I read from Voltaire was, he said, what medication can produce digestion? Exercise. What will recruit strength? Sleep. What will alleviate incurable ills? Patience. So how do you support a person to health with similar recommendations?
Well, I talk about eating real food and exercising and getting quality sleep, and it's the foundation to all healing. It's what we recommend and encourage others to do. And you know, you and I have talked about that quite a number of times over the last 15 years, and it's important. Eat real food, exercise regularly, get quality sleep. You know, mind your relationships with people, try to be mm-hmm. agreeable and try to foster agreement within society, and you should never have any issues.
So then it seems like the best medicine is really just the things that really don't require any kind of intervention.
Imagine that. I think God gave us a system that actually is, we're a self-healing mechanism if given the right circumstances. And if you live a life that's balanced within those right circumstances, mm-hmm. then it's not a question of getting sick. It's a question, well, how long do you choose to live in your body?
Yeah. So what would you say is the true meaning of health and wellness?
Well, as it says in the beginning of the show, health is a state of optimum or best physical, mental, emotional, and social well-being. And as I said, I add in there the spiritual well-being to that, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So what we need to understand is when you have a symptom, you've lost greater than 60% of normal functioning. So you shouldn't wait until that. You should try to maintain yourself as close to 100% as possible. And so I like to help people make sure they never get a health concern rather than waiting until they come in. And it's easier to keep somebody healthy when you're starting out healthy than it is to get them back to being healthy. But most of my patients, once I get them to a place called health, mm-hmm. they want to continue to use me because they want me to help keep them there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the things that most doctors aren't going to tell you is that you do get healthy by yourself. When you're sick, isn't it the doctor's job just to support your return to health?
It is, and it should be done with minimal intervention. The Hippocratic Oath says to first do no harm, Mark, and yet mm-hmm. the first thing a medical doctor will do to intervene is write a prescription. A prescription for a chemical that is known to have harmful side effects, and this violates their Hippocratic Oath. So the whole system is filled with hypocrites, and it's absolutely hypocritical. And we as a society go along with it because we have not been given an alternative. We have been not been properly educated to think differently, and we get caught up in what the commercials tell us to do. And the difference is, one is to correct and one is not. And the listener who can choose for themselves what they feel is true, using toxic chemicals known to have harmful side effects, or doing what nature intended. I practice the way that nature intended, and I gently help people back into balance and harmony, and they get well without all the drugs, without all the surgery, and without all the complications that go along with it.
But there are things that you use to help a person back to health. It's not just that you just go about your life and just eat and drink and sleep and exercise. I mean, there are other things that you need to do.
Well, there are other things that you need to do, like when you're eating a lot of food that isn't quality food, okay, that's going to create deficiencies within you. And when you get those deficiencies to a full-blown level, that's what's going to manifest in symptoms. That's what's going to manifest in signs. That's what's going to manifest in disease. And when a person has that, we use whole food supplements. We use homeopathic remedies. We help to restore balance to a person's mental and emotional reality. We get rid of their allergies through an allergy elimination technique, which typically takes about one visit per person to eliminate a specific allergen. We alter their physiology. And for those who have that kind of an issue, we may offer some spiritual guidance, if you will, and deal with the seventh pillar, which is the spirituality aspect of a person's health.
Mm-hmm. So why does the medical industry in America focus on intervening with illnesses and not focusing on health?
Because that's the rule of health care insurance, as we discussed earlier. Care that seeks to prevent disease, promote health, and prolong and enhance the quality of a person's life is not considered medically necessary and is therefore not a covered service. So you tell me, Mark.
The profit method does seem to be what motivates this process, and it seems to have taken it away from, when you think of the country doctor who used to go and make house calls and gave, you know, helped the birth of each person in the community, and then was there all the way from, you know, from birth to death with people.
Right.
That was a very different kind of paradigm for people at that time. And now we see that the hands of physicians are tied by the insurance company. The hands of the patients are tied by the insurance companies. And it's very difficult to find the kind of health care that you're providing because for a lot of people, they're saying, well, you know, I'm paying all this money for my health insurance. And how am I going to cover the cost of taking care of my health?
Right. And that's the thing. And that's why I have an article on my website. You know, when you use your health insurance, what are you actually paying for? Well, you're paying to be put on that treadmill. You're paying for the need for medication. And it's interesting because there's a plan that's been floated around probably since the mid-1980s, and they weren't able to get it in because Hillary didn't get into office. But Hillary was ready to run out a program to where we were going to, you know, have Obamacare for our medicine. We were going to have to prepay for the medicines that are going to help to cut the cost of medicine. Everybody was going to have a $250 a month stipend, so to speak, to where they're contributing to the cost of medicines to keep the pharmaceutical companies happy, okay, and to keep the profiteers associated with the pharmaceutical companies happy, and to allow human beings to have more access to those toxic chemicals known to have harmful side effects. And you're going to be more inclined, if you're mandated to pay for them, you might as well go get them, whether they're going to work for you or not. And I think that's going to lead to more crises and more medical issues like the opioid crisis.
And when it comes to getting health care, when it comes to getting your health back, let's say you've had a broken bone and it gets reset, or you've had surgery somewhere in your body, is the body then still able to heal itself, or is there something else that you have to do?
Well, the body has to heal itself, so the answer is yes, and God does that part based on the mechanisms within the body, and it definitely will, and it does heal itself. And those conditions, the broken bone, the surgery, are the absolute extremes of healthcare. And yet most of healthcare is focused on less than those extremes. And so it's challenging for human beings that when they go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, we can't find anything wrong with you in spite of how you're feeling, come back if it gets worse. Well, that goes back to the insurance law. the law basically saying that we can't treat anything that's going to promote health and prolong and enhance the quality of a person's life. We can only treat full-blown disease, so come back when it gets full-blown, and then we're happy to work with you and give you advice.
That's just amazing. Well, this is an interesting conversation to be having with you, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you more about this idea of finding the care in healthcare.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Hi, this is Doc Rick from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center and When Your Health Matters radio show. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do you have a health problem that you can't seem to get well from? You've gone to your medical doctor, you've tried the medications, you've had all the tests, and nothing seems to work? If that's true for you, I want to invite you to come talk to me. My name is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler, Georgia. I promise you, I will find a solution to your health concern. So if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of having all the health issues that you have, please give me a call at 845-561-2225. Go to my website at spineboy.com or send me an email at docrick@spineboy.com. I will help you get well. That is my promise to you, and I look forward to meeting you.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you have questions and you don't want to come to the office directly, you can give me a phone call. My direct phone number to my cell phone is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. It is my pleasure to give you my my cell phone number. Please don't hesitate to call me, because if you need to get a question answered, that's the best way. If you want to do the texting thing, please don't text me, because my phone does not receive texts. But you can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. And again, it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns you have. Now, so far today, Mark, I think we're talking about where's the care in healthcare?
Where's the care? I mean, what would it mean if a patient's interest came first?
Probably less money being spent and less money coming into the system.
That might not work out so well.
We wouldn't order tests that aren't necessary. We wouldn't put people through procedures that weren't necessary. We would simply take care of people, which is what health care is supposed to be, emphasis on care.
Well, how much of what is healthcare expenditures are actually paying for healthcare?
A very small percentage, I'm sure. Most of the money goes for paying for the technology or the equipment used, and I'm sure the doctor or the nursing staff sees a small percentage of that. It's interesting. When my nephew was involved with, he had a thing called a Burkitt's lymphoma, and so I went to the hospital to visit him in support of him and his process and all of that, and I wanted to see his labs and get a sense of what was different about him compared to what healthy is. And what was interesting, while I was standing outside of his room waiting for the nurse to get me his lab work, because she had to go in and get his permission to print out lab work so that I could look at it and all of that, I noticed in the hallway, outside of every single room on this hallway, were pieces of big expensive electronic diagnostic equipment. There were several pieces of equipment outside every room down the hallway. So there were 12 of this machine and 12 of this machine and 12 of that one. And there were several of them outside of every single room. And when I asked, why would you need 20 of these machines? Well, if everybody had that problem, we would need to make sure that a machine is available. Well, what are the chances that 20 people in the hospital are all going to have the same problem relatively in the same time? And the chances are probably nothing. But just in case that's going to happen, we have to have a surplus of, you know, testing equipment and diagnostic equipment, et cetera, so that in case something like that happens, we're prepared. Well, then guess who has to pay for all of that?
Sure. Well, that, I mean, it seemed like healthcare is more about collecting money than it is about treating people.
Oh, absolutely. That's right there. That is the truth. If you have good insurance, you get great care. If you have crappy insurance, you get minimalistic care, if any at all. Revenues are what they use to measure the success and the status of a facility. The more they make, the more status a facility gets, and the more people will choose to go there as they have heard of it due to the marketing budget of the facility. So the more money, the more revenue they can generate, the more popular it is. And, you know, everybody's heard of the Mayo Clinic.
Sure.
Yeah. Why? Because it's very popular because a lot of people have gone and they've been able to market the awareness of the Mayo Clinic. Okay. Everybody's heard of Bellevue. Why? Because it's very popular because it's, you know, and it goes on. So the most popular is not necessarily the best. It's the one that has been marketed the most. But they try to equate the best with the one that's most marketed.
Mm-hmm.
And because if you are the best, then you should have the most surplus of income, and then you should be able to advertise the most. And a lot of it is just a Jedi mind trick.
Well, it seems like, you know, the notion of having an insurance program would be that you can then spread out the risk amongst everybody. So if everybody is part of it, that would mean that people who live in less populated areas would still have access to some sort of health care. And we're seeing that when that's not the case, that in some areas it's very hard to get health care because you might be 60 or 100 miles away from a hospital. So if you were in need of something, an urgent care, it can become more difficult. So there must be some balance that has to be struck there.
There needs to be balance. We need to incentivize doctors to go to school, get their education, become a licensed physician, and then maybe incentivize them to go serve the underserved or the rural areas so that there's a high quality doctor that's there. And, you know, and I'm sure over time that we're going to find more and more hospital centers opening up in more and more rural areas. It's interesting. The town that I live in of Pooler, I've only been there for a little more than 2 years, and just the amount of growth that has gone on in the last 2 years is absolutely amazing. And they've opened up a new medical center right there off of Highway 16, and it's like, okay, it's basically it's going to be a mini hospital. And when you go to downtown Savannah, the parent hospital's there. But, I mean, there's these little satellite clinics associated with the hospital. And it's like, okay, so, yeah, great. If you incentivize doctors to be willing to, if you go serve a rural area, we're going to help to offset that by going out there for, I don't know, 5 years, however many years, and start a life and all of that, we'll get rid of some of your student loans associated with. We'll mm-hmm. bonus you based upon going out and going to an underserved area. I think there's probably could be some benefit to that. If we encourage people to go to medical school or go to nursing school or go to physician's assistant school or go to chiropractic school or go to physical therapy school or go to massage therapy school or osteopathic school, massage therapy, and any of these kinds of schools where you can become a caretaker for people, okay? It's interesting. You remember the movie, what was the movie with Robin Williams?
Patch
Adams, mm-hmm. okay, where, I mean, that story was fascinating, and it was based upon a true story of a doctor up in North Carolina, and it's like, okay, what's the purpose of being a human being, Mark?
To give back to
other
human
beings. Right, to help
other
human beings, okay? And so if we could all learn how to nurture, take care of, and be loving and supportive rather than being those who are trying to take advantage of and gouge the system and extract as much as possible because you got insecurities about finances and money and all of that kind of stuff. No, do the right thing. Do you know how much free care I give away every year, Mark?
I have no idea.
This radio show is me giving away free care. Why? Because I'm educating people, mm-hmm. okay? People come to my free healthcare class. I'm giving that away, okay? People come into my office. I spend 4 hours with them trying to help them to understand their problem on an initial exam and consultation. And they pay the same amount of money that somebody who comes in and pays, I don't know, for just an hour consultation. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's about serving the people that need to be served. And it's not my fault that you have this issue, but if I'm going to be a good physician, if I'm going to be a true healer, I'm going to take whatever time I need to take because guess what? My hands aren't tied by the insurance industry. My hands are not tied by anybody. I work for myself, and I serve the people that come to me, and it's my job to serve them. Physician means teacher. You come to my office, and if I'm not teaching you something, I'm not doing my job. Please don't pay me. But as a physician, as somebody who wants to heal, who do I serve? Do I serve the insurance company? Do I serve the pharmaceutical industry? Or do I serve the person who's asking me for help?
Well, I would think that you would want to be able to serve the person who's coming to you for help.
Right. So I don't care about the incentives by the insurance industry. I don't care about the incentives by the pharmaceutical industry. I don't care about the incentives that may be out there by supplement company or any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I care about treating, serving, and truly helping the person who's sitting in front of me.
Well, that's something that I certainly know about you, having known you for the last 15 or so years, that's very true about who you are, and you've always been that way. It's just a part of your makeup. And that sort of leads me into the next sort of topic I want to talk about in terms of care, which is the spiritual aspect of a person's life. How does that fit into healthcare?
Well, we're all triune beings, Mark. We are a body, we have a mind, and we are a spirit at our core that occupies that body. So we need to address a person as a triune being if you truly want to help them holistically and help them attain their highest level of life expressed. And isn't that what God wants for all of us? Isn't that what God gave us all when we were created in His image and likeness?
Well, I think the fact that we have free will means that we can explore that exact thing if that's what we so desire.
Right. That's the greatest gift that we have, was the gift of free will. It was to try things out, figure it out for yourself, do it from your own approach. And everybody has a different approach because everybody's looking at the world through their sensory system and through their eyes. And so, you know, if you're tainted by a past bad experience, it's going to temper the way that you deal with life. If you've never had an experience, you may approach it with a whole bunch of excitement and enthusiasm for getting into it. You know, you see little kids in terms of how they play. They become truly psychotic when they get totally lost in the excitement of wanting to play or experience something new, whereas adults are a little bit more reserved and a little bit more tempered in terms of all that. And it's like, okay, if you've lost the spirit of newness and the spirit of being a child just because you're a little bit older, you know, I try to keep things real light in my office. I don't try to be all that serious unless we're talking about something that requires the attention of being serious. And, you know, people always are grateful for when they leave my office, the fact that they now feel, again, we talked about giving them hope.
Right.
Good. Now they have hope, but they also feel like, you know what? I've had patients say to me in the past, you know what, Dr. Rick? I like you. You're like a real person. You're not like my regular doctor. And I'm like, well, what does that mean by that? Well, I can talk to you and I can just be myself with you. I don't have to be so sterile. And in my medical doctor's office, everything's very sterile and very detached and not a lot of empathy. With you, I feel like, you know what? You're like a friend, somebody that I can just be open with. And it's like, well, shouldn't that be the relationship that you have with the person who helps take care of you?
Well, I think the fact that you spend time with it allows that to transpire.
Oh, absolutely, because I get to know the people. But right. I also, having done this for 30 years, I have the ability to read people and understand what their habit patterns are based upon their health issues. And when I talk to them about their health issues and I relate it to how they do their life, and they look at me and they're just like, how do you know that I do my life that way? Well, it's because it requires abnormal habits in order to create the problem that you have, and that means that you think a particular way and you behave a particular way, and I can see that because that's why you have the effect
that you
have.
You see the results that they have. Well, that brings me to another aspect of health that you deal with that is not commonly dealt with, I think, amongst the regular medical profession, which is dealing with a person's emotional health. And what's so interesting about this is how your understanding of the relationship between the different emotions and specific health concerns happens. I mean, how does that work?
Well, your emotions are a result of how you process what is occurring in front of you, the moment-to-moment time that goes by, and you internalize that, and the trapped energy associated with those feelings, based upon what you're dealing with, over time will manifest as a health imbalance and eventually will manifest as dis-ease. And you can't, we are emotional beings. And we react emotionally to the circumstances that go on. That's why I try to tell my patients the last thing you should do before you go to bed, the last thing you should ever consider doing before you go to bed is watching the news. Because the news is going to relate to you in with death and destruction and crime and people getting hurt, somebody getting shot, somebody dying, all of these negative images mm-hmm. and experiences that tie into you emotionally before you go to bed. That's not a good way to go to bed.
Yeah, that's not the last thoughts you should put in your head before you go to sleep.
Not at all.
Yeah. Wow. This is great, Dr. Rick. We need to take another short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about finding the care in healthcare.
Absolutely. But please listen to these commercials from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. The best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone, area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225, or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. But if you have health concerns and you want care, if you truly want to be cared for, give me a call and I'm happy to do that.
So if you're caring for somebody, then can you actually fix a person?
Fix a person? You mean like a dog or a cat?
No, I don't mean like that.
Personally,
I mean health issues.
Right. Personally, I cannot do that one because that's for the veterinarians. But in the spirit of your question, Mark, as I've said before, I help facilitate the healing that God has given all of us in ourselves. I help nurture a person to express their God self and allow them to find their own balance and harmony for them as individuals. That's why I love what I do. I get to see God in action every day and with every person and that I'm actually blessed to meet and interact with and who gives me permission to help them back to a state of balance and harmony. And it's wonderful to be able to work with that energy and to see the effects manifest within a person and watch a person blossom right in front of me.
But not every health condition can be cured. I mean, there are things where people might come to you with a terminal illness. How do you help somebody in that situation?
Well, I support them in getting back in touch with their God spark, helping them remember who they really are and what they have lost sight of, and I give them hope, which comforts them. And once they have a better perspective of their life, they can then relax into their health concern, they can stop fighting it, they can be at peace. And that's all anyone can desire, Mark, is to be at peace. And so, you know, if a person's at end stage of their life, okay, why not support them and why not nurture them and why not help them transition to whatever comes after we die?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to suck as much money and as much life out of them and get paid as much as we can until they die, because that's sometimes what goes on in the do you have a DNR or do you not? If you don't have a DNR and you have good insurance, you're going to get put through the ringer and all the effort's going to be made in order to try to get you to live. And, you know, I think all senior citizens, I even think people who aren't senior citizens, really need to sit down and assess for themselves what kind of quality of life do you want? If you get to a place where you have some sort of real serious situation that may cause you to lose your life, do you want all life-sustaining circumstances to be applied to you, which may get you back, but may not get you back to where you would want to continue living? Or do you want to just, sorry the situation happened, but let me go in peace and just let me go and don't try to do all the sustaining circumstances?
Right. That's something that goes back to the conversation we were having earlier about having free will and the ability to exercise your free will in something as serious as something that could be life-threatening like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, now, I guess one of the big questions that everybody probably asking is, why do you get sick in the first place?
Well, we get sick in the first place because we have imbalances, we have disharmonies, we have interferences, okay? When your nervous system, which is the main control center that regulates how your body functions, when that nervous system interferes with you, mm-hmm. if the nerves that, let's say, go from your brain to your lungs are being interfered with, do you think your lung is going to work perfectly?
No.
So then things can get in that the lung would normally not allow in, or things can get in, mm-hmm. bypass the immune system if the immune system isn't working properly. And in this case, we're talking about sickness. Why does somebody get sick? Well, it's because you got some level of imbalance and something is allowed to go on that shouldn't be going on because the system that regulates that is malfunctioning or deficient or not doing its mm-hmm. job the way that it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're dealing with a patient comes into you. And one of the things that can affect somebody is what they believe and how they believe. So if you, can you help somebody change their point of view that rather than having a sickness, that they can have a point of view that they are moving towards health?
Oh, absolutely. It's important to understand where a person's coming from and what their perspective is. And when I help them gently change their perspective, okay, you know, most of what goes on in allopathic healthcare, the healthcare system that we have in our society, they focus on what? They focus on the sickness. They focus on the disease. They focus on the diagnosis. Diagnose literally means two people who don't know. And so when your doctor gives you a very difficult or very confusing or a very complicated diagnosis and I don't know, you phonetically write it down and then you go home and what is the first thing that most people do nowadays?
Go on the internet and
you go
look
on the
it
internet
up.
And they look up with Dr. Google and they try to figure out, well, what is this thing that I've been told that I have? Mm-hmm. Because the doctor won't take the time to truly explain it to you. Truth be told, the doctor doesn't definitively know until they've run a whole bunch of other tests whether you actually have that or not.
Right.
But they'll say that we think this is what you have. Then you go home and you research it and you read into it. And you start to process it, and you start to agree with it, and then you start to identify with it, and then now you actually have a problem. You're identifying with something that you don't want to have. Why would you want to identify with and claim my cancer, my heart disease, my rheumatoid arthritis, my high blood pressure, my allergies? Why would you want to claim something you don't want to have? So my philosophy is to shift the person's perspective, okay? You have an imbalance. You've made some choices in life that have led you down the path of complications that have manifested in this physical condition that you have. It's temporary. There was a time in your life where you didn't have it, correct? And they'll say yes. And would you like to get back to that time where you don't have it anymore? And they're like, yeah. Well, good. Well, we're not going to treat the disease. We're going to treat you. And if we treat you the right way, things will go back into agreement and things will manifest in a positive way. If we treat you the disease and all the focus is on the disease and fighting the disease and killing the disease and going to war with the disease, what have we learned over the last several millennia?
I think going to war against something just keeps it going.
Exactly. Okay. We need to focus on restoring harmony, restoring balance, restoring the homeostasis within a person, restore the ease, which is the opposite of dis-ease. And when you focus on that and you get people to remember that for themselves and you get them to feel passionate about it and you inspire them about it and you talk about what is possible with the kind of techniques that I use in my office, for some people, they seem very magical. We've discussed that before, how
sure.
magical they appear, because using manual muscle testing seems pretty magical. What do you mean? You touch here and my body turns off, or you touch here and now my body strengthens. And how are you regulating the strength of my muscle, and how do I have no control over it? Well, it seems pretty magical. And when you use the magical abilities that God has given all of us to heal and function properly, you access it and you activate it. Then miracles happen and people get well and things that doctors say can't be treated. I've treated lots of things that doctors said there's no hope for and the people are still around even though there was no hope for them. Well, I said the opposite of that. I said, no, there's plenty of hope for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. The approach is either focusing on the disease and maybe there's a life or death situation there versus focusing on the person
mm-hmm.
and the imbalance that they have and what it takes to bring them back into balance so that they can go on again for as long as they want.
It's kind of like when you're raising a child and you know, a child may behave badly. That doesn't mean the child is a bad child.
No, they're experimenting in the arena that God gave us all access to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You're allowed to do a wrong thing periodically just to see what it's like so that you know not to do it again. Touch a hot stove once. I'm pretty sure that's
the
only time you'll ever do it.
Well, it's the only time you need to.
Right. And maybe you're a slow learner, so maybe you want to do it again. Or maybe you want to get attention, so maybe you want to do it again. But at mm-hmm. the end of the day, you know, mom teaches us what we should and shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this notion of being able to change your way of thinking is so crucial to our ability to find our way back to health. I mean, you hear the stories quite frequently of somebody who just believed that they could cure something and is able to get over a disease, whereas somebody else has an attitude of defeat and that follows through what they believe.
Right, and it's interesting because I have a good patient friend. I haven't seen him in a while, but he was a really, really good friend of my parents because my younger brother and his younger son were best friends going through junior high and high school. And so they spent a lot of time together and they participated in the same sports. So his parents and my parents became very, very good friends. And then eventually he developed a sickness and developed a disease. He developed testicular cancer and he had to go through all of that, the radiation, and he lost a kidney and all of this other stuff. And then he finally came to me as a patient. And I remember sitting with him and I remember asking him, I said, Jim, tell me a little bit about the experience of being told that you had cancer, because I think that's a very, very important conversation to have, because I know definitively that the words that the doctor uses influences the outcome.
Absolutely.
And he says, that's very insightful of you, Dr. Rick. He says, that's very true. I said, well, tell me about your diagnosis and that whole conversation. And when the doctor did all the tests and we came back and we knew something was wrong because he ordered a lot of different tests. And when we finally went in to get the results, he sat down and he says, Jim, I want to tell you, you have cancer and you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the "and you're going to be fine" that made all the difference. Most people stop listening when they're given a difficult diagnosis.
Sure.
Because the words themselves are washing over the person, mm-hmm. and it alters their world. They're never the same after you give them a potential terminal diagnosis. And so doctors need to be better. They need to be more mindful at the effect that they're creating by talking with a person. And so that's why in my evaluation, I tell the patient, listen, we found some things that are out of balance and it's okay because I already know how to fix all of them. So I don't want you to worry about what you're dealing with because I know how to fix it. And they're so grateful that, thank goodness, I go in, I preface the whole examination. Okay. You have imbalances. We haven't identified what they are, but we're going to go hunting for them. And I hope we find them. A lot of people go to doctors and they hope the doctor doesn't find anything.
Finds nothing, yeah.
Right. No, I hope I find things, because if I find things, then I can justify why you feel the way that you feel and why your body's doing what it's doing. And if I can find it, I can also fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope to find things because I already know how to fix those things. And that mentality in the office, the way that we talk about that on a first visit, really sets the person at ease, and it really gives them a sense that, you know what, I can relax. And by the time they leave the office, they go out of the office with the only thing that I want them to go out of the office with, and that's hope.
They do.
They walk out of the office with hope that there's something that A, can be done, B, it can be done naturally, C, they don't have to take medication in order to get well from it, and if they're already on the medication, I'm going to help their body improve and function so much that they're going to get to go back to their doctor and say, I think I can stop my medication. Can you help me get off of it?
Mm-hmm. And this is sort of at one area of your practice, which is when somebody comes in and is dealing with something that's impacting their health in a negative way. The other aspect of your care is to help people become proactive about their health so they maintain their health.
Right. Give them the ownership of their body because their body belongs to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to take ownership of their body so that they don't have health issues, so that they can make choices, live with the proper behavior and take the proper action, by doing that, that empowers them. It puts them in the driver's seat rather than going through the medical profession where you're a passenger and you're subject to the whims of whatever it is and how they're ever going to treat you, and you just get to go along for the ride. I don't see that as being proactive.
So if somebody is interested in being proactive, has been listening to the show, has maybe listened to several of the shows that we have here on the air, or has gone to your website but would like to get more specific questions answered for their particular situation and want to take control of their lives back, what's the best way to reach you?
They should pick up the phone and call me directly. That phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. They can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. You can come to a free healthcare class held every Tuesday evening. You can come to my office just to say hello. Whatever the case is, stop me in the public. I'll be happy to talk to you. But let's get you the understanding that you need. Let's give you the clarity of understanding that you need. Let's give you the hope that you need, and let's get in front of your health issue and put you back in the driver's seat. And it would be my distinct pleasure to help you to that end. And so I want to thank you for tuning in this week. I want to ask you to tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously you need a pill. You know our one is best.